Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. I once read an article in which the value of time was illustrated in the following way. Imagine a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, it deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw it out, of course. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost whatever you have failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of today. Now, this article continued with something else. Here's the rest of it. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly paper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask sweethearts who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who has just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won an Olympic silver medal. Value every moment you have and count it a gift from God. Treasure it by sharing it with someone special, especially your spouse and children. Remember that time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it is called the present. Now, although the thrust of this article is focused on secular things, it speaks truth that applies to spiritual things as well. Time is something that is very important with regard to our relationship to God. And for a few moments today, we will consider some counsel from God's Word about this important subject. We're going to begin by listening to the advice given by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 21. Here's what Paul said. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, the key element of Paul's advice here is to make the best use of our time. This is what it means in this context to be careful how one walks and to be wise. Making the best use of one's time is also part and parcel to not being foolish and also to understanding what the will of the Lord is. In similar fashion, the contrast between getting drunk versus singing and making melody in one's heart to the Lord is an aspect also of making the most of one's time. In this brief statement, Paul summarized what a Christian's life should be about. It is all about using our time in a manner that facilitates our walk with God. Notice how Paul indicates that making the most of our time embraces and enhances our relationship with God. In verse 17, he said, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, how does this statement reflect making the most of our time? The simple answer is by devoting ourselves to the study of God's Word. Paul suggests to us that it is foolish to not understand God's will. The only way we can understand God's will is to spend time reading it and meditating on it. Those who are making the most of their time, literally redeeming the time, will spend time learning God's Word so that it is a living part of their being. Those who are foolish will use their time for other things. In verse 18, Paul used a graphic illustration to show how redeeming the time improves our walk with God. He said, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, it's pretty easy to see what making the most of one's time is in this case. Sitting around drinking is not what Paul would call redeeming the time. It is clear to honest minds why this is so. The very act of drinking an alcoholic beverage introduces into one's body a substance that works counter to the influence of the Spirit of God. To get drunk separates the drinker from God, to be sure, but it is also the process of drinking that brings one to that state. Paul says that drinking is not the best use of our time. The best use of our time is to fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God so that we can offer acceptable worship and praise to Him. Now, to fill oneself up with the Spirit is to devote oneself to the things of the Spirit. And once again, this involves the systematic study of God's Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It also involves setting one's mind on things above, not on the things on the earth, as is stated in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. It means filling oneself up with spiritual things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said it in these words, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or ponder on these things." If we fill ourselves up with these things, we will be redeeming the time, and we will find ourselves in closer fellowship with God as a result. The final way in which Paul illustrated redeeming the time is in verse 15. He said, "Be careful how you walk." Now, what he means here is to be careful how we conduct our lives. The prophet Jeremiah said that it is not in a man to direct his own steps, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Solomon said that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The point is this: those who make the most of their time will enter the small gate that opens to the narrow way which leads to life. Those who are not careful how they walk will follow the crowds through the wide gate that leads to destruction. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Since Jesus is the one and only way to come to the Father, we must make the best use of our time in order to carefully walk in that way. And the only way we can do so is to avail ourselves of His revealed Word, which shows us the way to the Father. Finding the way to heaven by means of God's Word is redeeming the time, and it will enable us to be careful how we walk. Now, when we give fair consideration to what Paul has written in this passage, there ought to be no question as to our response to it. We ought to honestly look at the use we make of our time and do whatever is necessary to be sure that we are redeeming or making the most of our time. But just in case there are some who are still unsure, let's ask ourselves why we should redeem the time, and let's see what the Scriptures have to say for an answer. The first answer we have is right here in verse 16 of the text we've been reading. Paul said to make the most of your time because the days are evil. I wonder if we fully appreciate the significance of this warning. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul said, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, Solomon said, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" We have already seen from Jeremiah and from Solomon in the Proverbs that mankind left to their own devices will often make the wrong decisions. We must make the most of our time because there is very real evil in the world, and we will fall victim to it if we do not redeem the time. Second, we must make the most of our time because we don't know how much time we have left. In Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 16 through 21, Jesus told a parable about a rich man who only thought of himself. When his land produced abundantly, he vowed to tear down his barns and build bigger barns in which to store his goods. In verse 20, Jesus said, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?'" You see, the rich man did not redeem the time, and God told him, "Your time is up." In James, the 4th chapter and verse 14, James says our life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Therefore, we must redeem the time because the present is all we are certain that we will have. Third, we must make the most of our time because salvation is only offered now. There are so many in the world who have put off and continue to put off obedience to the gospel. They are like the scoffers of whom Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 4. They said, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." You see, these people were mocking Christians' hope in Christ by saying that everything is as it always has been, but they were wrong. And so are those who think that there will always be time for them to be saved. Not forgetting that life is fragile and may end at any moment, we must acknowledge that the opportunity for salvation is also fragile. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friends, salvation may not be available tomorrow. We may die tonight, or the Lord may return, or our hearts may become so callous and seared by sin that we become incapable of responding to the gospel. We can become irreconcilable, and salvation will be gone. Therefore, we must redeem the time and be saved while the opportunity to do so is still present. Finally, we must redeem the time because no one knows when the Lord will return. This is important to us because of what will happen when he comes again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul tells us that when the Lord returns, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel. This is no laughing matter. This is serious business. When the Lord returns again, it will be for judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." This is the judgment, and everyone will be there. We will either be right with the Lord when he returns, or we will be lost. There will be no second chances. There will be no reprieves from his court. And we don't know when he will come. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter said that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus said that no one, not even himself, knows when that day will come. Only the Father knows. Therefore, we must redeem the time so that we will be ready when the Lord comes. Having considered these things for a few moments together today, how are you using your precious time? Are you redeeming it, making the most of it by devoting it to God's Word and to His service? Or are you using it foolishly by pursuing other things? Do not be foolish. Be careful how you walk and make the most of your time by devoting it to the Lord. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.